Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Let's go. It is time to lace it up and talk some NBA and zero in on the Dallas Mavericks, who have been some serious road warriors all week long. In fact, on Monday, they faced the Lakers. Wednesday and Thursday, it was the Clippers and the Utah Jazz. Saturday night, they are in New Orleans before returning to the AAC on Monday night. It truly has been a test of mental and physical stamina and endurance and survival of the fittest in this condensed NBA schedule. What a pleasure to introduce and welcome in for the very first time a gentleman whose name is synonymous with the Dallas Mavericks. That, of course, is their longtime analyst, Bob Ortegal, who now you can watch in studio providing his expert analysis on your station of choice. That, of course, is Fox Sports Southwest. Big Bob, it's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you. How are you today?
I am doing great. I'm telling you, it's been a very long week, and I want to get right to it because, Bob, at the forefront of my mind is just so many of these heartbreaking losses for the Mavs, whether it's been, you know, Oklahoma City and, you know, Durant hitting that big three, or Derek Fisher with that deep three ball on Monday night. And then I just think back to Wednesday night, you know, Chauncey Billups with that last second shot. And you really got to give a lot of credit to Blake Griffin because he looked like a Sooner linebacker with that pick that he set on Jason Kidd. But I got to ask you, as a former coach, what do you say to the guys when you go into the locker room to lift their spirits?
Well, you really have to be careful with that. You know, the less said at that particular time, probably the better. If anything at all, it needs to be positive in nature, and you can address some of the other things later on, the mistakes. Or, you know, those games that end up like that, Elissa, are really sometimes misunderstood by a lot of fans and viewers. The Mavericks, in the case of the L.A. Laker game and the L.A. Clipper game, should not have been in that position. I mean, they didn't play very well in the first quarter, and frequently when games come down to the buzzer-beater shots, a coach who loses can look back and say, you know what, had we done what we were supposed to do throughout the game, we would not have been in that position.
You know, and that goes hand-in-hand with what Rick Carlisle said after the game. You know, the defense has got to be entrenched in it early. It's a mindset and a lot of things that they need to do, you know, in the course of the game to avoid really being in those precarious type of situations when that clock is winding down. They've got to be tougher for a full 48 minutes.
There's no question about that. And it's not just the start of the game. It may be the, you know, I'm a firm believer in the last 2 or 3 minutes of each quarter, especially the last 2 or 3 minutes of the first half. And you have to be alert to that all the time. And it was one of the strengths of this Dallas Maverick team the last couple of years.
Yes.
The reason they've been so very, very good on the road. We haven't seen that same strength this year yet, but it's not over yet.
Well, I like the mindset that Coach Carlisle has talked about. You know, we've got to be a hit-first team, whether it's offensively or defensively. But I kind of think, you know, I interpret that like, you know what, you've got to play, whether it's a chip on the shoulder or like you've been popped in the mouth. You just got to come out there fighting. And as you said, if you get tired, they're going to platoon those guys. They're going to give you a break. They're going to get you some rest.
You know what? I'm going to get you a coaching job.
Okay,
you know,
hey.
It sounds like you ought to be a head coach someplace.
Oh, I don't know about that. No, I've coached.
No, really.
Oh.
You're right on.
Hey, Coach Bob Ortegal is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can watch him every single week on Fox Sports Southwest on the Mavs pre- and post-game. Does an outstanding job. And I got to ask you, you know, here it is, the month of January. The Mavs have had some tough losses, but I have a lot of confidence. I feel good because, you know, when you've got Coach Rick Carlisle as your coach, this is a guy that he's been through the tough times. He knows how to restore that competitive drive and that belief and to be able to get these guys to push themselves. You know, and it is hard when you're fatigued, when you're tired, you've been traveling, but there's something special about him that he can reach inside their heart and soul and say, come on, guys, we got to continue on.
He is a good basketball coach. I think one of the secrets for Rick is that, you know, he won a championship as a player with the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
He was not a starter on that team, but he came off the bench, and as a result of that, I think he knows how those people on that bench feel. If you look back at his teams at Detroit, Indiana, and of course here in Dallas, he's pretty sensitive to players on the bench, and he gets production off of those people. And he's, you know, he's a guy that seems to really establish meaningful relationships. I go back to the Clipper game. What was it, last Wednesday? And Prior to that game, Caron Butler, who played for the Mavericks the last couple of years and was very close to Rick, came up to Rick, and so you could sense the emotion. There was a handshake, there was a hug, there was a conversation, and then there was another hug, and you know they both went their separate ways. And he establishes very good player-coach relationships. He's good about that. He's more than just an X and O guy. Rick Carlisle is a guy that manages players and manages his organization and coaching staff real well. Coaching is a lot of X's, O's, and teaching. Management is a little different deal. Rick's good at both.
You know, Bob, I'm so glad that you bring up that example because I was going to ask you about it because for me, it was almost tangible when you watched the interaction between Caron and Rick. And so many times in the media, you know, we see Rick when he comes in, you don't see a lot of smiles. I mean, he's a pretty intense guy, but to just kind of see him exhale a little bit, that smile on his face, and just really, just as you talked about, they obviously had a very meaningful relationship. And, you know, Caron was injured last year, but I mean, Rick knows how to cultivate those relationships and to build that winning culture. And it takes a special guy to be able to do that.
He's really good at that. And I really believe that his experience as a player. And then, you know, you got to remember, he's been through some good times and some tough times as a head coach in Detroit. We go back to the brawl. We don't want to do that, but we all know what happened on that one. And then at Indiana, and he's very close to Larry Bird. They were close as teammates. And then, of course, Larry Bird hired Rick Carlisle at Indiana. And so he brings a ton of experience and a ton of knowledge to a head coaching position in the NBA. And it's all reflected in the kind of relationships that he does have with his players.
Bob, I want you to expound some more. I mean, so, you know, as we kind of reflect over the schedule, where they are 12 games in, you know, at this point of the schedule, how do you learn? How do you bounce back and how to close out games better without wearing these guys out? I mean, preparation is everything. I think back to even my high school days in the locker room. We had the will to win is not nearly as important as the will to prepare to win. They don't get a whole lot of preparation time because they don't get to practice because, I mean, it's going from, you know, travel to the next game, back-to-back games, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you bring up a term, will. There's a lot of people, you know, everybody wants to win, and a lot of people, you know, wish and hope for wins, but a will to win is an entirely different thing, and that comes as a group. And I'm getting a little bit tired of people saying, well, it's early. Well, it's not early anymore. When you're this far into a schedule where you're going to play 66 games in somewhere between 120 and 124 days, depending upon which team it is, it's not early anymore. You need to get the problem solved. And, you know, the league is tough, and you can't talk about the back-to-backs, and you can't talk about the back-to-back-to-backs, and you can't talk about the travel, because all 30 teams are going through that. You know, the Clipper game the other night against the Dallas Mavericks, that was their third game in three nights. And they were coming back from Utah, where they had been tattooed pretty good by the Utah Jazz. And, you know, they turn around and win at home against the Mavericks. So those kind of explanations, rationalization, excuses, whatever you want to call it, can't use that. I mean, it's just not going to work because everybody's going through the same thing.
We have seen, though, the Mavs have some dominant defensive performances and some stifling defense. I mean, they have really locked down the paint. I mean, I think back to, what, a week ago, what they did against the Kings. I mean, held them to 23 points at the half. That's right, 23 points at the half. I mean, they show us how effective they can be and how they are capable of, you know, disrupting their opponent's offensive flow.
Well, their defense has been outstanding. I mean, ever since the first three games of the year, the first three games of the season, the Mavericks lost all three. Their defense was not very good at all, but look back earlier in the week at the Laker game. I mean, you hold the Lakers in their house to 73 points,
yeah,
38% shooting, 10% on three-pointers, and you lose. So defensively has not been the problem. The most important statistic in a game of basketball, and I quote Coach John Wooden on this, is field goal percentage. The Mavericks' field goal percentage, three-point percentage, has not been good. As a matter of fact, they're a very good free-throw shooting team, and their free-throw shooting is down. And there's no real excuse for that. So You can talk defense and rebounding all you want, and that comes first and second. No question about that, and I don't deny that. But in the final analysis, you still have to put the ball in the basket.
You got to put the ball in the basket, but you bring up a great point talking about the defensive performance against the Lakers on Monday night. We got to shine the spotlight on Sean Marion because he was terrific. I mean, just did a masterful job on Kobe. I mean, he was picking off passes. He was, as we talked about, initiating the fast break. He's just terrific with his on-ball pressure and forcing those turnovers and keeping, you know, the best player off balance. We saw that last year in the championship run.
Marion's having a great year. He really is. You mentioned the Laker game, what he did against Kobe Bryant. He guarded Caron Butler in the Clipper game. Caron Butler went 1-for-12, had 2 points in the ballgame. That was it. So Marion has, he is a good defender. He's always been a good defender. And he's really kind of multi-talented in that area. He can take a bigger guy. He can take a smaller guy. He's really versatile when it comes to defending either a 1, 2, 3, or 4. And I doubt very seriously that you'll see him on many fives, but it wouldn't surprise me that he could drive a center nuts just by trying to stay in front of him.
Well, he can also rebound the basketball because against the Clippers he had 10 caroms, which was impressive. But this point I've got to bring up that Steve Kerr talked about the other night on the telecast is that, you know, the Mavs are an excellent defensive club because they can mix and match defensively. They've got the personnel and the players that can defend multiple positions. You're talking about that with Sean Marion, whether it's, you know, Jason Kidd or even Lamar or Odom. I mean, these guys can be moved around and shuffled, and that's going to, when you have that kind of depth defensively, boy, that makes your job a whole lot easier as a head coach.
Yeah, it does. There's no question about that. And the other thing that needs to be mentioned there, Alyssa, is that in addition to that ability to be flexible defensively in terms of who certain people are guarding, zone defense helps them a little bit because it gives the opponent something else to think about. And the Mavericks do a good job with a 2-3 matchup zone. That goes back to Dwayne Casey, who is no longer here. He's now the head coach in Toronto. But he was very, very good with that matchup 2-3 zone, and the Mavericks do a good job with it. They play it a little bit differently. In order to explain the whole thing to you, I'd probably need another 3 or 4 hours, and we probably don't have that much time.
The great Bob Ortegal is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can listen to this fabulous interview in its entirety at our e-podcast page, and we love hearing from you. We've got a ton of Mav followers. I want your assessment, Bob, on the interior defense, and what kind of job do you think that, you know, Haywood and Jan are doing on the inside?
A big, strong guy on the inside. He's a better defender than he gets credit for. He does have some problems offensively, but he really does help them defensively, and he's pretty knowledgeable. He's been in the league a long time, and he understands what it's all about. The thing I like about Mahimi is that he is becoming a better defender all the time. He's a hard worker. He's a coachable young man, Mahimi is, and those are the kind of guys that do get better, and you have to have that interior defense because, you know, that shot blocking in there, and whether you get the block shot or not, if you can change the shot, if you can get your hand up into the sight line of the shooter and just disrupt that concentration and that good, clear look at the basket, that's all part of good defense, and those guys are doing a pretty good job in there.
Would you agree? I think Jan is one of the most improved players within the NBA, and a lot of the things that he is doing, I know that he's posting some nice numbers, but he's doing the little things that don't show up on the stat sheet. I mean, I love how he's headhunting, he's setting hard screens, he's anticipating, he's blocking out, and I don't know if you agree with this comparison, but he reminds me a lot of Serge Ibaka with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, an international player, but he gets up and down. I mean, he's a long strider. I mean, he'll get out and run the floor. He wants to be the first one down on the block, helping out his team. I just love this guy, and as you said, he's a coachable young man.
He is really improving. You're right about that. He is one of the more improved players. Thing I like about him is, I always used to tell my assistant coaches when we got into the recruiting process, If you find a big kid who can't catch the ball and doesn't have very good hands, I'm not real interested. but Mahimi has pretty good hands. He catches the ball well, finishes around the basket. You know, a big kid with bad hands loses the ball out of bounds. He doesn't become a good rebounder. But a big kid that has pretty good hands that can run, that, you know, you want that kind of a player. Mahimi, I think, has a bright future in this league.
Okay, I'm so glad you brought up about having great hands and being able to catch the rock, because I talked to Jan like about a week ago after one of the games, and I said, you know, what is it like to play with Delonte West? I said, because you've got to have your head on a swivel. How many times, Coach Ortegal, have we seen just some of those line drive passes going in the interior? You better have your hands up and be ready to squeeze the orange.
Well, anytime you're on the floor as an offensive player, you need to expect the basketball. I played for a guy at the college level many, many years ago who would walk the sidelines during practice. He would always have a basketball in his hands.
Uh-huh.
And he would occasionally throw the ball at a player. Just throw it right at him. I mean, obviously it wasn't the game ball.
Uh-huh.
He'd throw it right at him, and he would expect you to catch it. And his message was, anytime you're on the floor, expect the ball.
Okay, so now, Bob, of course, back in the day, you played at Bradley. What position did you play? Were you a four? Were you a five?
I was a two.
A two?
Yeah, I was a bigger guard back in those days, and that's a long time ago.
Oh, that is. We won't relive.
What are you trying to do, take me into a position where it looks like I'm experiencing early dementia or something?
Not at all, not at all. Hey, listen, since I brought up Delonte West, lucky number 13, you talk about a guy that is acclimated so quickly. He's playing within the team concept. And you know what really gets me fired up is just watching how so many of the veteran players, you know, whether it is Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, I think back to even that Boston game, you know, Sean Marion put his arm around him after a 20-second timeout. They're really, you know, give him that stroke and that affirmation and that encouragement, because you know what? They know they need him and they need his production. And he's just an amazing young man, and how quickly he's been able just to read, to react to the defense and what he can do out there.
Well, this is a strong locker room, and it starts with Carlisle. But guys like Kidd and Nowitzki and Jason Terry are not going to let that locker room get away from them. Those are good guys. They understand what it takes to win. They understand, you know, what the championship is all about, and they do want to get back there. And West, he can help them. He really can. He's just an excellent competitor. He plays hard all the time. I mean, practice. He does the same thing. And you want people like that around. And some say, well, you know, maybe because of some things that have happened in his past, maybe he's not a real good kid. Well, you know, then it's time for him to become a better kid, or a better guy, a better man. And this organization can help you do that.
Is that why you think that he is being so successful within this organization? Just not, you know, just the chemistry within this team and how they have embraced him?
Is there anything any more important than going someplace and feeling like, you know what, I've been accepted.
Yeah, and valued.
Yeah, and you know, anybody is going to be better when they feel that way, and I think he feels that way.
We have just got a few more minutes this weekend with the great Bob Ortegal. Of course, we know him so well, covers the Mavs. You can watch him on Fox Sports Southwest in the pre- and post-game show. Certainly a lot of curiosity and commentary about Lamar Odom. Talk about how you think he is progressing. It was great to see him. You know, at times we've seen him have some strong moments out there and having a good time, but he certainly has gone through some major adversity, fracturing experiences, and I guess as fans, we've just got to continue to be patient.
Yeah, some of the things that are probably troubling him, and I don't know this for sure, are not basketball-related things. And in order to be as good a player as you can be, you'll get some things that happen in your personal life that get in the way. What I always used to tell players, and even friends of mine that are going through some personal issues, and is that, you know what, when you go to work or you go to play the game or you go to practice, you have to leave those personal issues there and do what it is you're supposed to do to the best of your ability, and then go back and address the personal issues. They will still be there.
Right.
They're not going to go away. They're going to be there. I'm sensitive to what he's gone through, but I know he's a better player than he's showed so far here in Dallas, and I hope that he can you know, sort it out and just understand, you know what, I'll address that later. And to make the move from L.A. to Dallas was not an easy one for him, but it wasn't easy for Roddy Beaubois and Mahimi to come from France to the United States either. So everybody has some of that to go through, and he has to just be stronger than whatever those issues are when it comes time to do his job. and then he can go back and address the issue.
I think back to listening to even some of the comments by Vince Carter, and one of the things that he has shared is that, you know, Coach Carlisle's talked about, you know, with the team, learning to stay within the moment and the task that is at hand. I mean, he's, as you said, you know, he's got to leave it, you know, and when he gets out on the floor, he's got to leave it all out there on the floor.
If the English teachers out there will excuse me for ending a statement with a preposition, it goes back to be present where you are at.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is you are doing, be present where you are at, and then you can move on after that.
Well, Rick's going to do everything he can to make him more comfortable, you know, in the offense, the half-court offensive set, to get more continuity and rhythm into his game. What needs to happen? I mean, do they need to run some isolations, you know, to be able to get him going offensively?
I think they need to get out in the open court a little bit more.
Okay.
I really do. You know, when you are constantly running half-court sets, and Rick doesn't call a lot of plays, he really doesn't. He wants good basketball. He wants good pick and rolls. He wants good give and goes. Some of the old-time basketball rules, but they're not getting enough fast break baskets, so you have to work so hard within a 24-second time to get those good looks. And I think that extending yourself a little bit more, really pushing the ball, especially when you're defending and rebounding well, push the ball and see if you get some good early looks.
Would you agree, though? I mean, it is a bit surprising just how far this team, because there was such an influx of so many new players, but just the continuity, the rhythm, just how well these players have played at times. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Delonte, how he's been able to connect with so many of the post players and stuff like that. It seems like, man, they've been playing forever. I guess that's just where basketball instincts takes over.
I think it has a lot to do with veteran players, too. And there are good basketball instincts, and those people that are playing in the NBA, most of them have pretty good basketball instincts. So they wouldn't be at that level.
Bob Artikel has been with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show, and we certainly appreciate your time. I know after this interview, I'm breaking out in a sweat. I'm ready to go lace it up. I'll spot you three, Bob.
Go ahead. You can do that.
Okay. Listen, take care, and we hope you'll come back and join us again real soon.
Thank you very much.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. We're getting ready to line it up. Talk some NFL with Jason Peter.